Amen. Thank you, Mary. What a blessing. I was watching Mary during the specials. She was sitting down here and just thinking of, when you serve the Lord, many of you, you've only lived here. This has been your place for years, and here in Adrian, Lenawee County, and people that serve the Lord, sometimes we don't get that privilege. We don't get to be in the same place for many years. But as Mary just sang, you know, God's will, that's the most important thing. And I was thinking, as I was watching Mary, I was thinking back many years ago when I was in Flint, when we met. And the first time I went out to their church in Byron, Michigan. How many of you ever heard of Byron, Michigan? All right, a couple people have, not too many. It's not a large metropolitan area. But I remember just thinking, what a perfect couple for that church and for those people. And we became friends there, and but watched the Lord move them away from there. And didn't understand that. We never do understand. But He has it all under control. He knows what's best. And I sure appreciate the Nixons. And of course, next Sunday night we'll have a fellowship after the service. Brother Nixon's going to preach Sunday night, and looking forward to that. Tonight after the service, College and Career is going to honor the Nixons, have a fellowship out at Craig and Patty's house, and all the College and Career young people are invited out there for that. And praise the Lord. Well, 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10, of course, the prayer of Jabez. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, and one probably not new to anyone. We are talking about a time for prayer in the month of September, and we've already looked at the attitude of prayer, the asking of prayer, abbreviated prayers, anxious prayers, answers to prayer. Wednesday night, I talked about the again of prayer, and just keep praying. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the accomplishment of prayer. Certainly, there's a lot that goes into talking to God. There's a lot involved in it, and I think of fellowship, just fellowship with God, is a wonderful thing. He desires that. All you have to do is read in Genesis, Adam and Eve walked with God and spent time with God. Fellowship is certainly an important part of prayer. Obedience, just God told us to pray. And when you pray, you obey God. You're obeying the Lord when you talk to the Lord. And of course, answers to prayer always comes to mind, just specific answers, and we've addressed those things. But I think with Jabez, we see just really an overall accomplishment of prayer, because literally his life was changed. And I think it goes back to verses 9 and 10. I think it goes back to really what really happens when we walk with God. God changes things. God changes our lives. And I don't know if you can, you certainly can see that with the Apostle Paul, who was Saul. You can see that with Jacob and his spending time with God, and over in the Scripture. But Jabez, just a great example of what I will call the accomplishment of prayer. Father, bless now the preaching this morning, and certainly in a crowd this large, there are so many that need something to change. For some, they're not saved. They've never trusted Christ as their Savior. And that would be the greatest change. You said you'd make them a new creature. Old things would pass away and all things would become new. And so I pray you'll save anyone here today who's not saved. I pray for those who may be discouraged, those who are going through a hard time, that too would change. I pray for someone who may be backslidden today, that would change. And Lord, all of it starts with our talking to you and our relationship with you. And so I pray that you'll speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. How many of you have a little note there in your Bible that says sorrowful by his name or somewhere right there attached to that? All right, several do. And Jabez, that's exactly what his name means. It means sorrow. And boy, you say, what a terrible thing to name your child sorrowful or sorrow. And so immediately when I read that, I can see that Jabez would like something to be different in his life. I can see where Jabez, growing up all through his life, hearing the name, his name called, and every time his name is called, it's like someone saying sorrow, sorrowful. What a terrible thing to have that attached to your life. And I hope that's not attached to your testimony. I hope that's not something that when people call your name, they immediately think of sorrow or sadness. But certainly that was true with Jabez. But the Bible says in verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And so Jabez wanted something to happen. Jabez, as you look at his prayer here, obviously he's not wanting to remain the same. He wants something to happen. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems like as Christians, every time we come to church, every time we talk to God, every time we sing, every time we listen to preaching or listen to teaching from the Bible, every time we open our Bibles and have devotions, every morning when we pray, we ought to be praying not just as a ritual, but we want something to happen. We ought to be praying as people who are talking to a God that can do anything and talking to a God who can move mountains, and we ought to be asking God to move those mountains, and we ought to be asking our God to do something in our lives. We want something to happen. You know, the Bible doesn't say a lot about Jabez, but right here it says a huge amount about our God and our relationship with him. Do you want something to happen? Do you want something to change in your life? Do you want something that only God can do? Do you want God to do it? And so as I think about Jabez, I just wrote down three main points here that I wanted to look at. And number one is his realization. His realization. Now, the Bible doesn't say. Historians go back and they talk a little bit about what may have happened. But he realized something the first time he realized what his name meant. He realized that he was born in the midst of sorrow. Nobody, a mother, would not name their child sorrow unless she herself perhaps were having some type of sorrow. Maybe it was because of the travail she went through to bring him into the world. And certainly every woman could testify to that. But perhaps it was a financial issue going on in their life. Maybe his father had died, and there were financial problems. But whatever it was, he recognized that when he was born, there was a lot of sorrow. When he was born, his family obviously was right in the bottom of the valley, and there was sorrow because, again, why would a mother name her son sorrow? Doesn't make sense. And he realized that he was different. Can you imagine every time in school that he was called upon, he's reminded that he's sorrow. You know, hey, Jabez, you know, the kids in the playground, hey, there's old sorrow, there's old sadness, there's old Jabez, which means sorrow. Again, he had a realization. He grew up knowing that he represented sorrow. He grew up and everybody knew, and I can imagine that everybody maybe teased him about the fact that his name was sorrow. I think he probably got tired of it. I think he got tired of being pegged with the terminology that, oh, here comes, oh, he'll ruin your day. Oh, here comes Jabez. Yeah, everybody, are you happy now? You won't be because here comes Jabez. I think he got tired. That's what his name meant. That's what everybody associated him with. And perhaps, especially those who were older, his mom's age, they would know exactly what was going on. You know, can you imagine being a child born on 9/11/2001? You're associated with that all the time throughout your life. Well, again, Jabez, that's how he grew up. But he had a realization that that's my name, but it doesn't have to be my life. Okay, that's what is associated with me, and that's what all these people have associated me with, but it doesn't have to be that way the rest of my life. You have to realize, folks, that with God, all things are possible. And though you may be associated with sorrow or failure or sin or whatever it may be, and people look at you that way, it does not have to stay that way the rest of your life. One of the great accomplishments of prayer or walking with God and spending time with God is the change that God makes in our lives, whereby we don't have to be what we were. Praise God. I mean, it happens at salvation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But there's a new name written down in glory. And a new name takes Jabez from sorrow to joy. And only God can do that. Only God can, it's more than just a name change. It's a life change. And God is the life changer. But you got to realize that God can do that. You know, if for nothing else today, you ought to get on your knees before God Almighty every day and say, God, I want things to be different. I want things to be everything you have for me. I think Jabez finally just got tired of the same old, same old. You ever get tired of the same old, same old? Hey, the answer is not running to everybody. The answer is running to one. The answer is going to him and getting on your knees and saying, God, I want there to be a great change. I want you to do a great work. And in fact, the Bible says it starts off in verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. I mean, he might have had a brother named Happy. He might have had a brother named Rejoice. He might have had a brother named Money. He might have had a brother named, I started to say, Herd of Cows, but I don't know if that'd be a good name. Well, a brother maybe, not a sister. That'd be terrible. But I mean, in other words, his brethren may have all been named successfully. They may have all been named something that, hey, what, when you call their name, everybody says, wow, I'm glad you're here. There's old Jabez. I don't know. But the Bible says he was more honorable. Why? Because in and of himself, he did all that he could. You know, again, honorable, bringing honor to your father and your mother. You know, Jabez said, okay, if my mom is going to call me sorrow, if she went through that much trial and adversity during that time, I am going to take her frown and I'm going to do everything I can to put a smile on her face. I'm going to do everything that I can do. I don't care what my name is. I know one who can change my life. And I know one who can take my sorrowful life and a sorrow that my mother had, my family had, could have been the whole city, but a sorrow that everybody knows about. And I'm going to see my God change all of that and change it in his way. And you know, it's a realization. How big is our God anyway? You say, you don't understand my lifestyle. You don't understand all that I've done. You don't understand. There's a reason why they're sorry. You don't know what happened to me when I was a kid. You don't know what happened to my family as I was growing up. You don't know. Listen to me. It does not matter. I think of people their backgrounds. And as a pastor, I do a lot of counseling and I see people that have gone through hard times and I went through hard times. But you know, you don't have to end up in sorrow. You don't have to end up where you started. You don't have to end up there. I think, you know, I think of my mom's family and on my mom's side, her sisters, she had two sisters. My mom got divorced. My mom's, both of her sisters were divorced and remarried several times. And so it was failure after failure after failure. And so many people, well, you know, the psychologists say that if you come from families where there's multiple divorce, you're probably, and yet it doesn't have to be that way, folks. It doesn't matter how they peg you. It doesn't matter what they call you. It doesn't matter what the circumstances were. There's a God that can change all that. And he will change all that. One of the great accomplishments of prayer is the change. The change that takes place in our lives. Through our talking to God, but through our God working in our lives. Number one is his realization. Number two is his relationship. His relationship. I'm sure this prayer wasn't the first time he prayed. I can imagine as a little boy, why do they all call me sorrow? Why is it when I walk in the room, everybody just kind of, their smile goes to a frown? God, I don't want to bring sorrow to people's lives. I sure don't want my mom to have sorrow. I want my mom to be pleased with me, and I want to bring honor to my mom. God, please help me. And I can imagine that Jabez had a walk with God and a relationship with God, because he sure doesn't sound like a stranger to God as I read his prayer here. He calls him immediately. The Bible says he called on the God of Israel. And in my mind, I can hear him pray. Not just God, not just call out to any God, not certainly not small g gods. I think about, you just call out to any old god out there, and people do all the time. There are people praying to false gods all the time, the small g gods, and just kind of going through a ritual and everything else. With Jabez, obviously, it was a personal relationship. Makes me think about, for example, when we used to go to pastor school, and there's pastors everywhere. First time I went, it's true with every pastor, but first time I went, I remember somebody saying, "Hey, pastor." And 20 people turned, but we're not their pastor, let me tell you something, their pastor turned too, because he knew their voice. And I'm just saying, the relationship as Jabez has been walking with God as probably just a little boy, and he said, I don't like this, but he talked to the God of Israel, a personal God, the God of Israel, and a personal God that he knew. He knew him, the God of Israel. Oh, God of Israel. If you're not saved today, he cannot change your life till you get saved. You ought to get saved. Jesus died on a cross to pay for your sin. And if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you ought to get saved today. Because there's only one God, and he is the God. And he is Lord. And he is the one that so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. There's not a whole bunch of gods out here. There's not, you just call on anyone. There's not, I'll pray this little prayer of Jude that's in the back of the newspaper. Or I'll carry this little good luck charm around with me. And I'll pray. Or I'll carry these beads. Hey, none of that will save you. Amen. Only Jesus saves. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's how you get to know him. And Jabez knew him. He knew, this is the God of Israel. This is the covenant God. This is the God of promise. And if there's anyone who can change these circumstances, it's that God. It's my God. All his life, he grew up with sorrow. If there's going to be help, it's going to come from the God of Israel. If there's going to be a change, it's going to come. And by the way, he is very sincere. He says in verse 10, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Oh, that thou..." He's serious about this thing. He didn't just casually say, bless the food to my body. He said, "Oh, God, I'm tired of all this sorrow. I want it to be new. I want it to be blessed of you. I want my life to be whatever you have for me. And I want to go, I want to get out of this sorrow thing. Oh God." When's the last time you prayed to God? Oh God. Oh, please, God. Oh God. I need you, God. We become very rehearsed in our prayers. We become very rehearsed. We become, and again, I'm not talking about just in church. I'm talking about when you're alone with God. When is the last time you just poured out your heart to God? "Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm so tired of being sorrow." I need your help, God. What do you want to see happen today? What do you want to see happy? Happen? Yeah, I want to be happy. Okay, what do you want to see? How do you trust God? Pour out your heart. Oh, God, please. Do you know what stops us a lot of time? Because we are so scared of what might happen to make that take place. Was it going to take more sorrow? Trust Him. Amen. Pour out your heart to God. I know. You know what is it that's on your heart this morning? I'm talking about on your heart. I'm talking about a spirit. I'm not talking about selfish things. I'm not talking about, I just want my way. I'm talking about on your heart. What is it? Is it that thing from the past that just eats and eats and eats and eats and eats? Is it that bitterness that just eats and eats and eats and eats? You know, it's been years. And again, is it that? Oh, God, I don't want this in my life. I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to have this sorrow. I don't want to think, and everybody to think when I walk in the room, that it's now gone from a nice day to a dark day. What's your burden today? What's your burden today? First of all, we see his realization. He realized that all his life, that was his name, but he knew that God could change it. Number two is his relationship with his God. You got to be saved. You got to have that relationship where you can pour your heart out to him. When is the last time you poured out your heart to God? Wow. Number three, we see his request. It's so simple. It's found in verse 10. His request. In other words, God has to do it. One of the great accomplishments of prayer is when we realize he has to do it. I'm way past just that now I lay me down to sleep stuff. We've gone past the casual praying for food. All those are good and they're fine. I'm just saying, I'm talking about stuff in our lives God has to do. Yeah, Jabez, you are born in the midst of sorrow. Your name reflects that sorrow. All around you is sorrow. Everything you've ever known is sorrow. But God can change all that. God can make all of that go away. But only God can do it. One of the great accomplishments of prayer is realizing He is enough. He's enough. He can do it. We try this, we try that. People take the stuff from their past and they try this and they try that. Some people try alcohol. Some people try drugs. Some people try sex. Some people, I mean, there's every kind of thing that is tried, you know, to get away from that thing. Jabez realized, and one of the great accomplishments of prayer is, I've just got to go to God. This is not going to change without God. God will have to change the circumstances surrounding me, as God only can do. What was on his heart? Well, it's very obvious. The will of God was on his heart, and the Holy Spirit of God led him, and he knew exactly what to pray for. By the way, Romans 8, look at it. Keep your place here, but look at Romans 8, verse 26. I just want to show you this, and the subject, the month of prayer. I've got so many sermons that I've written down and things I wanted to talk about, just no time to deal with all of them. But here's a wonderful truth. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I mean, there are times when you go to the Lord in prayer, if you would just say, Spirit of God, please just take care of this and help me to pray what I need to pray. Because there's, I don't know, you know, you say, well, I've got it figured out. God doesn't want to know what you figured out. God wants you to rest in what he's got taken care of. And Jabez, again, it's a matter of, you know, I've had sorrow all my life. My name is sorrow. My mom named me that because there was sorrow all around. And God, when I call upon you today, here is what I believe is your will and what you'll do for me. He needed God to do something. The first thing we see is his request for prosperity. And that's often how we pray, his request for prosperity. He says this, and I love what he says. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. I mean, he's talking about a real blessing, one that lasts. Amen. Not just today, God, but I want your blessing on my life, the rest of my life. Amen. I mean, I like all the blessings. I like a blessing today, and I like a blessing tomorrow. But I want a blessing. I want my whole life to be blessed, God. It's just requesting prosperity in a spiritual sense. By the way, God's blessing, it doesn't mean necessarily it's always financial, but it can be. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be prospering as far as our job or anything, but it could be. It's just, God, I want to bless me indeed. You know, the blessing, it may come by more sorrow. Sometimes it does. But bless me indeed. Indeed. I want you to remember the greatest thing in our lives is our salvation, and it came because Jesus died. You don't have a greater blessing than to know you're saved and on your way to heaven, but the only way it took place was at Calvary's cross. And there may have to be, that's why, again, you know, we struggle so much with really talking to God and really praying as letting the Holy Spirit of God guide and direct in our prayer life and just opening up our heart and saying, oh God, I need you to do something, because we're so scared what he might do. We're so scared. When you trust him, because you walk with him. One of the great accomplishments of prayer is just learning to trust him. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. And you can say, God, I want your blessing. But I don't just want a temporary blessing. I want a blessing that lasts. Bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. Yeah, look, keep your place here, but look at John chapter 8. And we have a verse where this we can understand it a little bit better. Bless me indeed. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You see what he's saying? He's saying, if you continue. He said, if that which continues, it's my disciples indeed. There's a lot of disciples because there are a lot of people that followed him. But he said, my disciples indeed are the ones that stay with me. He said, I want a blessing that stays with me. Just like my name has stayed with me all these years, I want blessing to stay with me the rest of my life. I want, when I walk in the room, people say, hey, there's the guy, God blessed. There's a person, God sure is taking care of. There's somebody that just is always rejoicing. There's somebody who sings the songs when we sing. There's somebody, you can just tell, they're excited about the things of God. There's old blessed instead of old sorrow. He said, just like sorrow has followed me through my childhood days and my teen years and my young adult years, I want blessing. Blessing indeed. You know, sorrow may be my name, but it's not going to be my life. Whatever your past, plug it in there. It doesn't have to be the rest of your life. Whatever negative, whatever bad, whatever has hitched onto you like a leech, it's time for God to take care of it and get rid of it. God, bless me indeed. A request for prosperity. Second thing I see here is a request for possession. And I love this because he says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. What a great prayer. What a great thing to talk to God about. Enlarge my coast. Now, by the way, that's not going to be free. That enlargement of coast, probably it's going to require a battle. The Canaanites, you know, God commanded his people to cast them out. Well, you don't cast them out just simply by saying, get out. It was war. But God, I want you to enlarge my coast. And what's he saying? He said, I want some new land. I want some new victories. I want you to give me some new blessings. You ever kind of wonder about somebody who just kind of, you know, it's always the same testimony over and over again, nothing new happening. You know, there's nothing new is going on. It's just always refers back 20 years ago. You know, Jabez is saying, hey, listen, God, I want you to enlarge my coast. I want to possess the new land. I want to possess the land. You said wherever we set foot, it was ours. I want to start taking some steps and getting some new land. Oh, yeah, there's going to be bad guys out there, sure. But I want that new land, amen. And you know, God's people, again, one of the great accomplishments of prayer is God giving you new land. Amen. It's like, what opportunity is there? Well, it could be a Sunday school class. Could be a bus route. It could be winning people at work. It could be soul winning in your neighborhood. I don't know. It could be some other answers to prayer that God may be doing. It could be understanding the Word of God. It could be being able to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It could be realizing that my God shall supply all your need and watching God. But I'm just saying, I want to see something new happen. I want to see you work in my life. And by the way, you don't have to compromise the old for God to do something new. God's always going to do stuff new if you just spend some time with him. He's got so much for us. I'm amazed how we sell him short. Yeah, I think there's new land as we request possession. New land. But then I think maybe he might have been referring to some old land too. You know, getting back some of the land that had been taken by the enemy. Again, that's war. And I'm so afraid that Christians today have given up a lot of land. And the enemy has taken over. And again, you know, it's altar call. It's time alone with God. It's Bible reading. It's Bible excitement instead of just going through the motions. It's getting with God's people and praying together in fellowship. It's getting with God's people and working together for the things of God. I mean, I'm not against talking about sports scores and stuff like that, but there's nothing like serving God together and talking about the things of God together. Possession. It's that old land. It's that old excitement that you had when you first got saved. It's that old thrill of the old time, you know, back when you used to be excited about missions conference coming in and excited about giving, and now it's like, how do I have to give again? Oh, there's Brother Chase asking for more money. Brother. It's the old land. And by the way, God didn't change. And the land didn't change. It's just, you know, again, accomplishment of prayer. I think it was Lee Robertson said, it might not have been Lee Robertson. I don't remember. Anyway, a famous preacher once said, all our problems are prayer problems. It always goes back to that. Doesn't mean if you pray you don't have problems, it just means your problems are taken care of because God's going to take care of them. Amen. Yeah. Some here need to claim some new land. Some need to recover some possessions that you once had when you had a spiritual life. When you crossed over the Jordan River and you realized that Canaan's a wonderful place and manna from heaven was enough and the garlics and the leeks and the onions and the melons of Egypt, psh, stinks. Remember? But you got to... I smell the cucumbers cooking. I smell the garlic. Oh, Egypt smells good. and you got to checking it out again. We all have that battle. And all of a sudden you find yourself asking the question, why came we forth out of Egypt? You need to get back and possess the land. You need to say, God, I want it to be like that again. You know, Joshua 13 and verse 1, look at it. Joshua 13, verse 1. Joshua 13th chapter, verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. Don't you love that? Bible says it's true, and then the Lord tells him, by the way, you are. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Who'd he say that to? He said that to someone who is old and stricken in years. Boy, what an encouragement that is to we who are old and stricken in years. Huh? Isn't that an encouragement? You say, no, it's not. Yeah, it is. There's still more. There's still more. It ain't over till it's over. And you're here, only they don't do that anymore. My wife kind of laughs every time I do that, but you understand it. It's not over till you're in the casket. Then it's just started. But as far as here, it's over. Yeah, you say, I'm getting old, but God has more for you. Otherwise, he'd take you home. Amen. There's got to be more. And I've said this before as well, whatever is keeping me from there, it's got to be big. Or he would take me there. That's a wonderful place. So whatever it is that's keeping me here, there's something. Don't know what it is. But whatever it is, it's got to be big. And I want to possess everything God has for me to possess. I want to possess the new land, and I want to possess the old land. Lord, enlarge my coast. Request for prosperity, for possession. Then third, a request for God's presence. Jabez, he called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me. God, I need you. I need you. Thine hand, God's hands are more than just there. They're very busy and very active in our lives. You want God just to be a relic? Just to be a formality? Or do you want him to be real in your life, active, busy? Do you know why he's not? So many times he's not active, because how many times did he actively say, I want you to go pray about that at the altar? I don't know, what would people think? And every time we say no to his Holy Spirit, and we say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, it's just like we've pushed ourselves away, and we no longer have him working actively in our lives. But somebody who prays, one of the great accomplishments is how God is active and very, very present in our lives. My soul, the psalmist said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. The living God. Hey, I'm talking about the hand that touched the leper and the leper was healed. I'm talking about the hand that touched the dead and the dead rose. I'm talking about the hand that could hold Peter up as he walked on water. I'm talking about God's presence. And we need his presence in our lives. Active in our lives, where miracles abound. Miracles abound. You say, I'm just not seeing that. You've fallen into the Jabez trap of sorrowful. And you need to just spend some time with God. Get alone with God. Get on your face before God. And request. Make a request for prosperity, for possession, for God's presence. And then the last thing, request for God's promise. Because it always comes back to, you know what? He promised. He promised. I mean, of all things, it's amazing how we don't understand that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's hard for us, again, it's hard to imagine that we don't grasp that it was God that said to the devil, "Consider my servant Job." And that God wants to take our lives and He wants to brag on us. Because we're His workmanship. I mean, once we recognize without Him we're nothing, and when we're ready to give Him all the glory, God says, "Hey, there's my servant right there. Consider my servant." God, I'm claiming your promise. I'm claiming your promise. What's He say? He says, "And that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil." That thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. Oh, evil always grieves us. It always does. Whether it's evil attacking us or whether it's our own evil coming out in our lives. You reap what you sow. I can't even think of the verse. But again, whatever evil. Evil is always, it's always grievous. And so He said, I'm going to claim your promise, God. I request that you do what you said you would do. The Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. Yeah. You know, evil's it's just a nasty thing. If you're miserable today, you're miserable because of evil. Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting how God attaches the word evil to surmising. It's just what we think. Why are you nodding your head yes? Yeah, I know why. You're plotting something. Yeah, you got why you never sit up front. What are you trying to do? You got a gun in your pocket? What are you trying to do, huh? Yeah, I know. I know. You want all the glory. That's called evil surmising. You say, "Oh, preacher, people know." People do it all the time. God talked about it. And it's where you fabricate and formulate this plot and plan and everything in your own little mind toward your parents, toward your children, toward your authority, toward the boss. And pretty soon you've got this grand conspiracy out there and you just... And that's evil. And it grieves you. It's a grief. And you know His prayer is, "God, deliver me from that, from evil associates." The Bible talks about that. Just keep me from evil. Guard me, protect me. Because every time I am evil, every time I sin, it just brings grief. Because sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Someone is always hurt. Lord, keep me from evil. And again, how does that happen? Well, it's something that's accomplished with prayer. I promise you, you don't spend very much time with God till the presence of evil around you. Like Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Woe is me. He saw his own sin and he saw the sin around him, but that's when he saw the Lord. God's promise. And you know what? God will keep His promise. He always does. One of the great accomplishments of prayer is our awareness of how big God is, how great God is, how God is holy, and how God hates sin. Jewish writers affirm exactly what it says, "And God granted him that which he requested." History says that he became an eminent doctor of law. People came to him from far away. In fact, there was a town called by his name, 1 Chronicles 2, verse 55. And I think it all comes back to a man that just said, "I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to talk to my God. And in talking to my God, I'm going to ask God to change things. I don't want it to be the same old, same old. I want God to do something. And he did. Powerful two little verses in the Word of God. Let's bow our head, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.